Let us pray. Lord God, you sent your word to bring us truth and your spirit to make us holy. Through them, we come to know the mystery of your life. Help us to worship you, one God in three persons. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. There is a spiritual tradition found in Christianity and Zen Buddhism where a disciple, which in Greek means a learner, approaches the master seeking a deeper spiritual awakening. In Zen Buddhism, they are called koans. I think that's the right pronunciation. I may be wrong. A koan is a story or a dialogue or a question or a statement that is used to provoke the great doubt and test a student's progress in Zen practice. So two well-known Zen koans are, what is the sound of one hand clapping? And I like this one. What was the appearance of your face before your parents were born? That ought to get you thinking. Students or disciples of Christianity have some koans of their own, stories or statements or conversations that confound and even may confuse the listeners. Many of Jesus' parables belong in this category, sayings such as, those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Or from today's gospel to poor old Nicodemus, you must be born from above. So parables and koans are intended to point the listener beyond themselves. As one author wrote, to frustrate the logical mind so that a deeper understanding may take place. They bypass reason and enter into a reality we call the kingdom of heaven, the Holy Spirit living within. Deep, profound truths take time and reveal themselves slowly, as flowers open slowly to the sun. And it is in spending time with the parables we find their meaning growing in us, sinking through our conscious mind. And today on Trinity Sunday, John's gospel tells the story of Nicodemus, who was attempting to take in a difficult spiritual truth through a conversation with Christ. As well, we are celebrating the mystery of a doctrine that also can be difficult to understand or grasp. The Trinity, three persons in one God, or as the three musketeers said, one for all and all for one. So as we look at the gospel reading from John, Nicodemus, a local Pharisee, comes under the cover of darkness to see Jesus. And he comes initially not with a question, but with a comment on Jesus' credentials. He says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him. And then Jesus says, well, let me tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. This was not going to go well. Nicodemus says, but how can someone be born again when they are old? They would have to go into their mother's womb a second time. The one hand clapping explanation Jesus gives is about being born of the water and the spirit and hearing the sound of the wind, but having no idea where it comes from. And Nicodemus, still thinking he can hold his own, asks, but how can this be? And Jesus basically says, look it, you're Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things. I know what I have seen and I know what I've said, and yet you people don't accept my testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? In other words, just because I explain spiritual things, it doesn't mean you will understand them. There is no response from Nicodemus. And you know, there's a little bit of Nicodemus in all of us, because we can read scripture year after year. We think we understand that we are informed of its meaning, but not formed by its depth. I'm going to say that again. We are informed of its meaning, but not formed by its depth. And it means we have to take time to enter into Scripture and then let Scripture incarnate, the Word incarnate into us. And it is so easy, we're so human, to settle for easy explanations of things. It's hard to be confounded. We fail to grasp, as the writer of Hebrews explains from Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And this encounter with Christ affected Nicodemus so much that after Jesus is arrested, Nicodemus tried to defend him in front of other religious leaders. And then, later on, Nicodemus helps Joseph of Arimathea prepare the body of Jesus for burial. So he risked his reputation and his life to provide a proper burial for Christ. Nicodemus, a real person whose changed life speaks to us about encountering the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of the great mysteries of the Christian faith, the Trinity. For what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say you must be born from above. The Trinity pushes us to think in a larger way about God, and in doing so, prevents us from having an inadequate view of God. It prevents us, I believe, from thinking that God is something we can control, that God is something we can handle. Martin Luther said, it's God who handles us and not we who handle God. The Trinity represents our admission that we cannot tame God to fit into our tiny little systems. God will not fit into the palm of our hands so that we can hold him down. And as the psalmist writes today, the voice of the Lord is over the mighty waters. The God of glory thunders, breaks the cedars of Lebanon, strikes with flashes of lightning, shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. Does that sound like a God that we could capture in our hands and put into a bottle? God is the bigness of the Trinity, three in one, powerful, mighty, enthroned, majestic, uncontainable, and yet because of the power of the Holy Spirit, knowable in Christ Jesus. And God allows us to see him in a particular way. The doctrine of the Trinity is a summary of God's dealings with his people. It tells the story of how God created and redeems us. It hits the high points of the story. God, the creator and sustainer of the universe. Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord of the world. And the Holy Spirit, sanctifier of the people of God. To affirm the personhood of the Trinity is not to suggest that there are three gods, but simply that one God can be experienced and encountered in different ways, all of which are valid. And the doctrine of the Trinity does not explain how it is that God is able to be present in this remarkable way. It merely affirms that God is present and available in this matter. And the wise and challenging words of St. Augustine are worth remembering. If you can understand it, it's not God. The Trinity is the inevitable wrestling of the Christian experience of God, the richness and complexity. God is active in the world by what God does in the lives of the people who created. In other words, in history. And God is not is not our concept or idea, which we can kick around in our leisure and lecture and seminary rooms. God is the living God, the incredible power that created and continues to create this vast universe and all that is in it. If we had just invented an idea of God, then we could really make it simple. But the point is, we have not invented God. We don't have control over God and the way in which God is revealed. The Trinity is not about us. It is about God. The Trinity is a statement about God, not a statement about us. The Trinity is not something we perceive. It is a place where we dwell. And what we know about God seems very simple. The great affirmation that God loves us, meets us in Jesus Christ, and takes us home to him. And Christians respond to God as revealed in Scripture, in the Christian experience, and in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And we shall never be able to capture God, putting God in a neat package. God shall always remain more than words and doctrines, our beliefs and expressions of worship. God is the Holy One. And there is a mystery about God which is tremendous because it is so awesome and overwhelming. I'm not too sure we can really grasp it. Maybe that's where faith comes in. When we experience God in contradictory ways, that is our problem, not God's. All we can do is to decide whether or not to open ourselves to a God whose freedom and imagination boggles our minds. The mysterious Holy One is light years greater than our capacity to adequately explain or understand God. Now, I've said this before, but I always go back to this. This quote is from the National Geographic. Are you ready for this? 1983, long time ago. And this is what it said. The Trinity was not invented. It was uncovered. And if it is inadequate, it is because do we really think that we can comprehend the magnitude of a being who has created a universe with more than a million billion galaxies, where each galaxy has hundreds of billions of stars? Are we naive enough to think we can understand the complexity of a being that created a universe where every ounce has more than 100 million trillion highly organized atoms? 1983, National Geographic. And we don't need to be experts on the Trinity. It is not the doctrine which is the basis of our faith. It is the living God whom we meet in Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit. And God is not a one-dimensional human construct, but multi-layered and multifaceted. So the next time you have a conversation with your friends about the Trinity, and I'm sure many of us do, I can think of many a dinner party where I had a conversation about the Trinity, remember the following story that Archbishop Tutu wrote in his book, Hope and Suffering. Anthony Bloom, the Orthodox master of the spiritual life, told the story of a simple Russian country priest whom an eminent scientist confronted with apparently devastating arguments against the existence of God, against the existence of God, and declared, "I don't believe in God." I love this one. The uneducated priest replied quickly, "Oh, it doesn't matter. God believes in you." And that's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, to you and to me. God believes in us. God believes in all of us because God believes we are all able to worship and serve the God of the Holy Trinity, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. And this, my friends, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this day we may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, we pray this day we may take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, we pray this day you will fill us with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy, Blessed Trinity, three persons in one God, have mercy on us. Amen.